Good evening. Welcome to the Rossford Village School District's regular board meeting of Wednesday, September 27th, 2023. Would you please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance?
One nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, roll call.
Pete Denzik.
Here.
Jack Tuff.
Here.
Emily Flacco.
Here.
Kent Murphy.
Here.
Vaughn Burks.
Here. Exhibit number 3A, the motion reads that the Rossford Board of Education hereby adopt the accompanying agenda as presented and adjusted and also approve the consent agenda with any exceptions noted for its regular meeting of September 27th, 2023.
So moved.
Any questions or comments? Roll call.
Kent Murphy.
Yes.
Jackie Huffman.
Yes.
Tiffany Denzik.
Yes.
Emily Flacco.
Yes.
Vaughn Burks.
Yes. Motion carries. Exhibit number 5, recognition of visitors. Thank you all for coming out this evening. We do not have any visitors to acknowledge. Exhibit number 6, principals, directors, and supervisors' monthly reports. Ms. Denzik, we'll begin with you.
Absolutely. Thank you all for your very detailed reports. There are a few things in the reports that I wanted to point out for the rest of the public so that they can kind of get a taste of what it is that we see on a monthly basis. I'm going to start off with the high school, junior high. The total at the high school, junior high school, is 786 students. Total at Penta is 126 students, so we have total enrollment of 912. The Rossford Junior Senior High School is hosting 4 exchange students this year. Inez Marquez Esteban is from Spain. Nicolo Cassano is from Italy. Tamara Namuskosa is from North Macedonia. And Yulia Herniska is from Ukraine. So welcome, students. We're glad to have you here. We do have some discipline. I'm always asked about the discipline, and just so that you all know that, yes, discipline is happening in the school districts. We have 13 detentions in the junior senior high, and we had 9 in-school suspensions and 8 out-of-school suspensions. I want to send a big shout out and congratulations. On September 14th, Rossford School's girls golf team defeated Delta 182-241. During this outing, the team tied the 9-hole record with a score of 182. Haley Hogan set the individual 9-hole record with a 37, including 3 birdies. So congratulations, Haley. That is an outstanding feat. Rossford Elementary. Our academic intervention teachers, the ATI, have started to work with a small group of students that need additional support in the reading. We are really excited about these new full-time positions to support the needs of our students. They will work with the groups of students at every grade level each day during our designated intervention time. We are expecting to see a lot of growth in the students, so congratulations to the Rossford Elementary. I'd like to say a shout out to Matt. Thank you so much, and congratulations on the new podcast that you are doing. Excellent work. Mark Swavel, I want to say thank you so much for keeping us all informed on everything that's happening in regards to the district when it comes to the education. Reading and math have been your focus, and we really appreciate that from this last report. At this time, that is all I have. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Ms. Clacco.
Hi. I also just wanted to discuss the reports. Thank you, everybody, for your detailed reports. In particular, I wanted to highlight all of the students who are showing up every day. They're doing their jobs. They're turning in their work. They're respecting their teachers. Typically, they're not mentioned on the report, and they should be celebrated for just being great kids. And we have a tremendous amount of them in our district, and they're also busy doing other things. We're very busy in our band and our athletic department and our drama departments, and the clubs are rolling. And there was a club fair at the high school where kids got to walk around and see all of the opportunities to be the outstanding students that they are. So thank you for the detailed report.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Murphy.
No, just thank you for the reports. I would like to specifically congratulate the girls golf team. Those kind of records don't come around very often. And it's pretty special when they set one. So congratulations to those, that team. Otherwise, just thanks for the reports.
All right, Ms. Huffman.
I don't have anything to add. Thank you for the report.
All right. Yep. Same here. All right. And exhibit number 7, Superintendent Board President's Report. At this time, we have a STEM update, which we're very excited about. The elementary STEM teachers, Andrea Iman and Maria Pratt, will provide the board with their summer STEM camp plan and overview of the projects they have completed with various grade levels and discuss their plans to utilize the R for STEM projects. So we are very excited because as we have opened up the R, we know that there's going to be some opportunities for our students to be able to do a lot of great things. So thank you for being here this evening. We appreciate your time. We did hear it though. Yep, we did. Yes. Yep. Thank you. Yeah. But thank you for taking time out of your evening to come here and present to the board. So we'll turn it over to you all. Thank you.
Piloting, thank you. Drone piloting, science math applications, real world actual applications for students to learn about how drones are used in actual jobs, such as checking to see if there are sharks along the ocean shores so that people can stay safe. They will do some visual based coding. They will learn how to do aerial video and editing. So those things are in the works for some opportunities for our summer at the R. Things that are going on in our classroom right now. In second grade, the students just finished up a project on landforms. So they had to learn how the salt and the flour go together to make their salt dough. They painted their landforms. I have an example here. They had to make a map that goes along with their landforms that has to match. And then they use some technology to create a video. And then with their video, they have a QR code. So anyone who comes along and wants to scan it can watch the video that this student made about her project. So that's how we kind of incorporated some science and technology into our curriculum. And then our third graders are working on some Scratch programming. It's a free program that we use that allows them to learn how to code. They create motion and sound and different, they change the look of their characters. They had to create a story. So they're in the picture, they were using their blocks to create something that was cohesive. So they had two characters that had to make sense. They had to talk to each other and they had to have backgrounds that supported the story that they created.
Here's an example of some things our fifth graders are working on in the classroom. These are some Vex robotics that we got from the Amazon grant, and they code them to go through a slalom course, and I was so busy helping with all of them. I didn't get a video of that part, but at the very end, they do a culminating little drone, like robotic competition. They try to push each other off. Just an example of the electronic that. In fourth grade, they're creating cakes with called paper circuits, and they use copper tape, little diode lights, and coin batteries and create cards. And I have to learn about parallel and simple circuits. Either create two lights or one light and make a card for somebody. In second grade, they're doing what's called Rube Goldberg machines. A couple weeks ago, where they're trying to create chain reactions with different materials in the classroom. After they make the plan and try to make one thing create another reaction. This is sort of the plan of I'm going to take a group of kindergarten students, so they'll be 5 or 6 years old, over to the R. We have a set of make do that was from another grant, and it's a cardboard construction kit, and they get, you can't really see, but there's a little cardboard saw, a screwdriver, and screws, and you can create these really big fort costumes, and it's been a hard for us to use it because it takes a so much time, and so you have to build it and then take it down to the next class. So we're going to spend 2 days at the R. We have about an hour and a half reserved each day. Our kindergarten students can go there and build a big fort. And so if you go check it out, I don't know how beautiful it will be, but I think they're going to have a lot of fun trying to get these structures to stand and crawl inside and really feel like builders with screwdrivers and saws that are all kid-friendly. And then last, just a couple things that we're doing during the exploration time. That's when the kids can choose to come in instead of go to out to recess. They can just build and do things in the STEM room. And so we have a list of teachers that are putting in requests to the 3D printer. So last week, a student printed a lost and found in homeroom class, and they designed the side and put her name on it, and they go and take measurements from her and find out what she wants. So then they get a presented gift to her. One's making table numbers from a facility that this one was sale, that's table number 3. And then this was just from a conference center, so I got a bunch of free little micro bits, and one was created like, if you shake it, it does different things. It's supposed to be this little pet hamster. So they're doing some coding, and that's just some of the things they can come in and do for fun during the time.
All right.
Bulldog Foundation grants. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. Any other questions from the board for the
great job? Keep it up. That's awesome.
Yeah, so Bulldog Foundation supporting our teachers. Thank you. Yes, and thank you, ladies, for being here this evening. So thank you. All right. Exhibit number 8A1, the motion reads that the Rosser Board of Education approve a classified contract for Robert Sanford, 10-month cleaner position at the junior-senior high school, effective date, pending receipt of clear BCI2 FBI results as presented under Exhibit 8A1.
So moved.
Any questions or comments? Roll call.
Kent Murphy.
Yes.
Jackie Hoffman.
Yes.
Emily Clacco.
Yes.
Tiffany Benzig.
Yes.
Vaughn Burke.
Yes. Motion carries. Exhibit number 8B1, the motion reads that the Rosser Board of Education approve supplemental contracts effective the 2023-2024 school year as presented under Exhibit 8B1.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or comments? Roll call.
Emily Clacco.
Yes.
Jackie Hoffman.
Yes.
Tiffany Denzig.
Yes.
Kent Murphy.
Yes.
Vaughn Burke.
Yes. Motion carries. Exhibit number 8B2, the motion reads that the Rosser Board of Education approve the volunteers effective the 2023-2024 school year as presented under Exhibit 8B2.
Second.
Any questions or comments?
Thank you for volunteering.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Roll call.
Jackie Hoffman.
Yes.
Emily Clacco.
Yes.
Kent Murphy.
Yes.
Tiffany Denzig.
Yes.
Vaughn Burke.
Yes. Motion carries. Exhibit number 8C, the motion reads that the Rosser Board of Education approve the agreements with the Wood County Board of Developmental Disabilities, Wood Lane, for special education services effective the 2022, 2023, and 2023-2024 school years as presented under Exhibit 8C.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or comments? Roll call.
Tiffany Denzig.
Yes.
Molly Clacco.
Yes.
Jackie Hoffman.
Yes.
Kent Murphy.
Yes.
Vaughn Burke.
Yes. Motion carries. Exhibit number 8D, the motion reads that the Rosser Board of Education approve the agreement with the Wood County Educational Service Center for Community Learning Center's Rosser Junior Senior High School Summer Intervention Services effective the 2023-2024 school year as presented under Exhibit 8D.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or comments? Roll call.
Tiffany Denzig.
Yes.
Kent Murphy.
Yes.
Molly Clacco.
Yes.
Jackie Hoffman.
Yes.
Vaughn Burke.
Yes. Motion carries. Exhibit number 8E, the motion reads that the Rosser Board of Education approve the agreement with Great Lakes Community Action Partnership for the Early Childhood Education Program effective the 2023-2024 school year as presented under Exhibit 8E.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or comments? I think the board received questions that Ms. Dunzik had and the response from Mr. Krebs. All right. Roll call.
Kent Murphy.
Yes.
Jackie Huffman.
Yes.
Emily Clacco.
Yes.
Tiffany Dunzik.
Yes.
Ann Burks.
Yes. Motion carries. Exhibit number 8F, the motion reads that the Rosser Board of Education adopt the resolution to terminate the employment of Heidi Mickens pursuant to Article 15 of the Collective Bargaining Agreement between the Board and the Rossford OPC Local 384 and ORC 3319.801 as presented under Exhibit 8F.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or comments? Roll call.
Tiffany Dunzik.
Yes.
Kent Murphy.
Yes.
Emily Clacco.
Yes.
Jackie Huffman.
Yes.
Dawn Burks.
Yes. Motion carries. Exhibit number 9, at this time, we open it up for audience participation. We will provide 30 minutes for everyone to be able to speak. Each of you will get 3 minutes. If you have not already signed in, please sign your name at the sheet in the back, so with your address, please. And when you come up to the podium, if you could state your name and your address, that would be greatly appreciated. So if someone, Sandy, I don't know if you could get the sheet so that everyone who signed up for to speak. I will remind the audience that we do not speak to individual board members. We speak to you all, speak to the board, because we are collective board. So when you come up to speak, please make sure that you do that. Thank you. We will begin with Robert Roach. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Okay. Mrs. McKnight. Oh, no. Oh, okay. Well, no. In the past, you've signed up and spoke. So that's no, that's okay. All right. Mr. McKnight, then no. Okay. All right. Mrs. Belcoffer.
Why don't we let Sharon stay?
Okay. Yep. You can stand. You can sit, or she can actually sit. Right here. Kent. Right. Don. Don. This is Don. Don. Yeah, just sit right here. Well, you can stand, but it's, I don't know. Whatever you feel comfortable with. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Sharon Belcoffer, 9229 Mandel Road, Perrysburg Township. Last month, someone stood up there at the podium and spoke rather inappropriately and irresponsibly, maligning and demeaning the board. And then he said, "I am a veteran," as if that was an excuse for that behavior. No. As the mother of three veteran sons who served our country, one making the ultimate sacrifice, I was offended. I hold our veteran men and women in high esteem. And while this person may be a veteran of record, he was definitely not a record of a veteran of esteem behavior that night. He went on and again he said, "I am a veteran," but this time he spoke ugly, dirty, foul language at you, the board. Ugly, dirty, foul language. Again, he soiled the honorable title of veteran. Audience participation is not a requirement of board meetings. In fact, lots of boards do not permit audience participation, and some boards require a written request to speak 2 to 3 days before their scheduled meeting. Here at Rossford, you have provided for many years the opportunity to speak with audience participation as a regular part of the board meeting agenda. But there's an expectation that goes with that, and that is that the speaker will speak appropriately, responsibly, and with respect for everyone in the room. Obviously, last month, that did not occur, and was the reason that I wanted to share my thoughts this evening. I thank you for that opportunity.
All right, thank you.
And do I have some time that I can
speak? Oh, I'm sorry.
One more time.
Read it, yeah.
Well, I didn't know if there was anyone else that was going to speak.
And then I already asked that.
Opportunity. So, I wanted to acknowledge the SOS Club. As you can see, I'm wearing my honorary membership t-shirt that they have given me. They do so much to serve our soldiers and to serve our veterans and to serve our military families. And in fact, both the junior high school and the elementary have received the state's Purple Star Award on a continuing basis for several years because of all of their projects and programs that they do to support military families. So I just wanted to acknowledge and thank them publicly for all the work that they do.
Thank you. All right. Exhibit number 10, board's reports. Ms. Stensik, we'll begin with you.
I have nothing to report at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Clacco?
I have just a couple of things. Our children are awful busy. Again, I alluded that in the other reports, but the moving parts of our district are heavy, and fall is a very busy time, and all the teachers and all of the coaches and all of the advisors are doing a lot with our kids, and that just always continues to be celebrated and how hard our kids work. And that's all I have.
All right, thank you. Mr. Murphy.
We did not have anything except the grand opening. I think I shouldn't acknowledge that since I'm part of the construction committee. Facilities committee. I don't wear a hard hat. It was an outstanding opening. I was really proud to have been a part of that process and helping design and pick out colors and everything that's in there. And I would like to, from a facilities committee, particularly from, I guess, Jackie and I, as board members, would like to thank Rudolph Libby and all the vendors, all the subs that they used, because it's outstanding. I don't know any other schools who have what we have, and I think it's going to provide an opportunity, but beyond our wildest dreams. And I think we're going to, as a result, you know, hopefully we'll see a lot more records falling in years to come, because it's a great place to improve and become better. So that's all I have.
Thank you, Ms. Huffman.
I do not.
All right. And I don't either. So we had no correspondence, and we had 6 nice job notes sent this past month. So thank you. Exhibit number 11, we'll open it up for discussion. I think one of the first items we should discuss is the survey that was done by the school, and talk about that as a board, because that was something that we had asked Mr. Krebs to have Matt do. So at this time, I open it up to the board.
Well, I think with that, as I reviewed the survey results, it looked fairly heavy that the people in the school building significantly wanted to keep things the way that they are, and the parents seem to be the opposite of that. When you figure all of the percentages together, what I would like to do, if we can, because I think what we're talking about is potentially creating a policy or a guideline of some sort. If we're going to require that, it should be in writing. If it's going to be mandatory, it should be in writing. So I think that should be, we have committees for a reason. I think the policy committee should be taking a look at that issue and making a determination and a recommendation. And, you know, I don't want to kick the can down the road, but at the same time, I think we need to, the results weren't as helpful one way or the other as I had hoped they would be. So I would I would like to move at some point to get that issue into the committee, but I'll do that.
The policy for when you say guidelines aren't in writing, it's policy that's in writing.
Well, we have both.
But what I'm saying is, as far as the guideline that you're looking for,
if we're going to make the pledge mandatory, that's the survey we're talking about, right?
Right, right.
If we're going to make that mandatory, then if it's mandatory, it needs to be a policy, or it needs to be a guideline, or it needs to be a written practice. I mean, people need to know what the expectation is, right, if we're going to hold them to that expectation.
And I think that's what came up about that. You weren't at the last meeting, so that's what we had discussed, yeah.
Is putting it in committee?
Well, first going to the survey to how the community, how the parents, how the students, and how the staff feel.
Yeah, we talked about that actually a couple meetings ago as well.
Yes, we did.
So, yeah. So I'd like to do that. So I would move that we send the issue to committee if I could get a second.
Okay. I don't think you have to do that. Like, that can be something that's discussed.
It typically is for my clients would have that go. If there's an issue before the board, they send it to committee officially by moving. But if that's not your practice, then I don't.
Yeah, I don't know.
This is an unusual circumstance.
That's different than what I.
That's okay. This is a somewhat of an unusual circumstance. So I'm fine either way. I would like for them to consider it and to make a recommendation. I don't remember who's on the policy committee. So I think you guys should take a look at it.
All right. Any other comments from
Dan sits in on those as well.
Yes, and so does Jamie.
And so do you, Jamie, mm-hmm. Right?
And I think there's nothing wrong with us always looking for more information from our students and our parents and our teachers. So I think the survey was definitely something that was good to look at, and
it was helpful to know where people are in terms of decision making. Yeah, it was a little rough,
which is what surveys do, unfortunately,
sometimes.
Go ahead.
I just think that it was good to at least look to see where everyone was at. I think our students spoke loudly,
yeah,
they thought
well, and I Yeah, they do.
And our parents also.
Yeah.
With 34% of our parents.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. With, yeah. And not everybody filled it out either. So, which is also something that we struggle with, I think, as a district, is people don't always fill out the things that they need to.
And I'm not a stats expert by any means, but those seemed like significant numbers to me, that it should relatively accurately reflect general feeling, I would think, in the district. And if we're not going to pay attention to them, why would we do them? So thank you for doing it. I really appreciate it. I thought the participation was actually this better than I thought it would be, to be honest with you.
So I don't know if the community knows that, so I'm going to share that information. Yeah. So I'm sorry,
please do, because I was going to read it if you weren't.
Oh, I was, yeah. So we had sent out a survey to our students, to our families at the junior senior high school, and to the staff at the junior senior high school, and asked questions with regards to, would they prefer to have it just the pledge be on a Monday, or continue to have it for every day of the week. So the survey was shared on Friday, September 15th, to be completed. We had 492 students take the survey, with 71% of our students in favor of keeping the pledge on Monday mornings as is, and 29% wanting it recited daily. We shared it with the junior senior high families to be completed from September 15th through September 22nd. We received 228 responses, with 34% of families wanting it to continue on Mondays, reciting the pledge over the announcements, and 66% wanting it recited daily. We also surveyed our junior, senior high staff and received 51 responses, with 53% of staff wanting the pledge to stay on Mondays and 47% wanting it recited daily. So that is the information that the board has received.
Thank you for sharing
absolutely.
That. Because I wanted to know, did an email go out to everyone since they did fill the survey out of what the results were? And I would request that an email does go out so that everyone can see the results. Or put it on the website, however
you want to
do it. I wouldn't mind since it's become a hot button topic, and will continue to be. I wouldn't mind those results being on the website. I think it's helpful.
When is the next policy committee meeting? Of October. Thank you.
All right. Any other comments?
Are we still on open discussion or just on that?
Well, we're still on that.
Okay.
We're going to keep moving.
No worries.
Do you have any comments about that?
I guess I have one final comment on that issue, is that we just also have to remember that patriotism in our school is tremendous. And I think Mrs. Balkoffer reiterated that in our SOS club and the awards that we receive as a district, and our band students that pay reverence every time they play the national anthem, and so on and so on and so on. If you've been to a volleyball game, they literally have a screen. There's scenes of our soldiers defending our country. The flag comes down. We are a very patriotic, very, very patriotic district.
I know that with many issues, I tend to wear my exhaustion on my sleeve for everybody to see, but this issue has come up time and time again. And look, it's an important thing, and it's something that needs to be considered. But the notion that anybody on this board is unpatriotic or something of that nature, the Bulldog Foundation, which I'm on, I'm a founder, we intentionally put the military display right where it is. There's a reason we did that. It's because we honor and support our military. And the suggestion that anybody on this board isn't patriotic because we're not forcing the pledge every day or ever how many times a day is, it's just ridiculous.
I do have a comment now after that. I don't believe that anyone that stood up here and spoken has said that we should force anyone to do anything. For the most part, they've all been very polite. They've asked that the Pledge of Allegiance be said daily. There's only been one who hasn't been so polite, and that was last meeting. But everybody else that has stood up here, I cannot remember that has demanded anything. They've asked that the pledge be said. And they've been veterans who have stood up. They have been grandparents. But the majority of them that have stood up have been actual veterans who served our country and said, we request that the Pledge of Allegiance be said daily. Our grandkids are not saying it. Our kids are not saying it. And they are concerned about it. But they haven't demanded.
And the underlying suggestion is that it be required of teachers to take that time to do that each day. So I know we can say that a child can, and I'm, when I say child, I mean all the way through our district, can sit down and not participate. You know, put a kid in that position? Is that what we're going to do?
Well,
that's a good idea.
I spoke to a couple of the teachers and asked them, and I mean, even on Mondays, there are kids who don't stand. And again, as you see from, again, it's split to me for the teachers. It's a resounding for the students that they're fine with it the way it is. And then the parents that have filled out the survey. So we have 228 responses, and 66% were in favor. So it's kind of, you know. Mm-hmm.
That's what
Split.
I was saying. That's why I'm saying the survey was not, in terms of decision making, it wasn't overwhelming. So that's all.
And it doesn't make someone any more patriotic by saying it every day. And I think that's what you're getting to. Whatever is when you all go into policy, if that's something that you think should be in a definite writing. I'm honestly saying that it doesn't, I don't think it needs to be in writing, because students have every day, they can say the pledge every day. There's nothing that, in our policy currently, there's nothing that says they cannot say the pledge every day. I worked in a high school where kids did, we had Bible study before school. They're not supposed to be doing Bible study during school time. However, they have the rights to do what they, you know, in the school setting. So we would meet, I was a part of that with the students, and we would meet before school and you know, go over different scriptures and talk about how that is impacted into the school. So again, to me, the two people that I'm seeing that are in the buildings are the students and the teachers. Correct. So again, I've not changed my position on the fact that it's working the way it is in the building. I get it. Families want their children to have different things there. But then I hear certain things where, well, schools shouldn't be teaching that, or schools shouldn't be doing that. So which one is it? So sometimes we allow it and sometimes we don't. But then some families will say, well, I don't want my children having that happen in the school. However, you know, I'm the parent. I'm the one who should be teaching that. So I sometimes get a little bit of kind of confusion as to sometimes it's okay, sometimes it's not. The people in the building that are speaking to me are the students and the staff. And the staff was pretty much split, but the majority of the staff, the last time we asked the staff, or Mr. Brashear did, the majority of the staff, which this is, said that they were fine the way things are. Again, they're the ones in the classroom.
Right. My point, I'm very aware of the policy and the fact that we don't say you can't say it, but if we're going to set aside a time every morning in announcements, I think that expectation needs to be set. If not put in policy, it needs to be communicated, if that's the expectation. That's my own feeling on it. And I'm not suggesting that we should change anything. I'm just, what I'm suggesting is we step back and don't have an emotional response to this.
Right.
And we approach it systematically and with logic and reason.
Yes, Ms. Stensek, you had the next, you said you had another.
I do have a open discussion item.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah.
I would like to discuss the email that went out last Wednesday to a parent in the district and what our response has been. And I want to have an open discussion with the board about the situation. And it's the registered sex offender that does live in our district and was volunteering in the district.
And I think some things we need to be very careful as to how we speak on those things, because obviously that is, you know, name obviously cannot be used. Certain things can then lead to who that person is. So we have to be very careful having that discussion openly. I know that there's been some discussions between some of the board members and making sure that Dan was aware of the situation. And then Megan got involved and also had our attorney get involved, which we all as a board received that information from our attorney. And I know that there's been a lot of information that our attorney said there are certain things that we unfortunately cannot do. And then that we did do some things that have changed some of the guidelines, I would say, as to how we look at people in booster groups, how we look at people who volunteer. I know we've had other things that have happened in the district, and we've tried to increase the safety for our students, because that is very important. So I guess I would just be very careful as to what we are going to be discussing, because that I don't want to put our district in any type of situation that it doesn't need to be in.
What I would add is the one thing we need to be clear about is when we say volunteering, there's been recent activity where that individual was not a volunteer for a school event, and I understand that hasn't always been the case, but if someone is a registered sex offender, that should show up on their background check, and it is there. Those are FBI fingerprint background checks. I know, because I got one for being a coach, a volunteer coach. So those people do get vetted out. I don't want the public to have some misconception that just anybody can come, you know, walk in and participate in a school sanctioned event. Cause that's not the case.
And I guess I would ask Dan, since he was the one who has been working with our chief of police, our attorneys, to maybe comment on that since it has been brought up. So, you know, if you would like to share what you can share, because obviously we have to be careful with that.
Yeah, my understanding is that this particular instance, whether I know there was some discussion as to whether it was a school sanctioned event or not, to your point. And my understanding was there was an understaffed concession area where an individual, unbeknownst to the people working it, had requested that this particular individual help out, of course, not knowing the status. We had looked into that and said, of course, that there had been no wrongdoing based on Ohio law in that particular instance. The policy then talks about volunteers who are in a supervisory capacity on a regular basis, were, as the board knows, and we just approved a whole host of those individuals this evening on the board agenda. So the challenge becomes a situation in the event where you have something such as, you know, we've all been to different sporting events where there are lots of people around, and perhaps those individuals working in a volunteer capacity are unaware. They ask another individual, not aware of the status of someone who may be appearing on the registry, which, as we all agree, there are certain protections that don't seem to make a whole lot of sense. For people who do appear on that registry, but nonetheless, they do. That was essentially the setup, as I understand, is why it occurred and how it occurred. But anybody that, you know, goes on field trips, works with the OHSAA, which is the Ohio High School Athletic Association, now requires even volunteers to have their pupil activity reports, as well as BCI, FBI. We run all of that. But more open events, there is opportunity there for this type of situation to occur at a school sanctioned event. And how you control that becomes another challenge. We are beyond this particular situation, then, as we talked about, always looking for different opportunities to strengthen safety, right? So now we're looking at something that some systems that some districts in the state of Ohio utilize, and it's my understanding that they can provide the checks more quickly and more cost effectively than your standard BCI FBI background check. So that's something we are looking into. We're still in the process of looking into the vendors that provide that type of setup, in the hopes, again, that maybe we can reduce even the likelihood. To reiterate, we do a really nice job with that. We treat it very seriously. But I think we always should be looking for additional opportunities to tighten that. In this particular situation, just again, brings to light, well, maybe there's something else that we can tighten even more so than we already do.
Yeah. And it bears some mention, I think, that, you know, the Ohio legislature's done us no favors here in right. terms of our leeway on these issues. I mean, this is public land that we have, and the legislature could have put a ban in place. There are bans in place at certain levels. Unfortunately, they didn't do that.
Certain offender levels.
Yes, certain right. offender levels, and right. they didn't do that here.
Correct.
And, you know, and that gets into the balancing of interests, you know, parents who may have felonies or, you know, be on sexual registries. So there's a lot more in play, I think, than meets the eye, because I have the same visceral reaction when I hear that. But I also have to step back and go, okay, wait a minute. What are we talking about here? And we have a policy in place. Seems very logical to me. Seems to work. Your letter to the individual was very appropriate. I saw it. Somebody provided a copy to me, and I thought it was very appropriate. Mm-hmm. And did what we could do within the constraints that we have.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we can do more. According to the Ohio Attorney General's website, there are no state laws preventing this, but local ordinances may be stricter than state law. Additionally, an individual offender may have more restrictions placed on him or her through community controls provisions, parole conditions, or through a plea agreement in the court. So in this case, we can put stricter ordinances in place.
And maybe that's something that then the policy, yeah, and that's maybe something, especially in...
Before we get way down the road on this, and everybody's confused, we don't pass ordinances. Ordinances are local laws. We have policy. We don't pass ordinances.
We can have a policy. I'm strictly reading what is on the Ohio...
That's not what it says, Tiffany. What you just read does not say implement a policy.
It says local ordinances. But it also means we can do our own policies, Kent.
That's how you're interpreting it, but I can tell you that's not what it means.
I'm just reading what the Ohio Attorney General's website
says. An ordinance is passed by local government.
I get it. What do you think we are sitting here? Elected officials.
We pass policy
we
as
do.
A school board. We
and
don't
we
pass
can
ordinances.
Make a policy. Oh.
Okay, that's not what that says.
And that's where I was getting at the policy piece. If that's something that you want to, then again, here's our two.
I want to talk about a policy piece, about making a stricter policy piece when it comes to registered sex offenders. I'm not talking about people who've committed felonies or someone who's killed someone in a DUI. I am talking registered sex offenders only. That was what I started off saying.
And I would be inclined to take a look at anything that we can do within the law. The stuff that Tiffany's talking about, I can tell you right now, has zero bearing on what we can do. So, and Julia, our attorney, will confirm that, I can assure you. But
and I don't think anybody wants it to not be whatever we can do in the constraints of what, I mean, I'm on the same page with you, but I'm also like, again, if let's say someone moved into our district and we don't even know their background and they aren't on a registry, you know, there are certain things that would be out of our control to even know about. It's an unfortunate, I mean, again, I'm sorry for the situation that occurred. It's very upsetting to me. However, there's some things that we were told by our attorney, as well as, you know, we've looked into with our, you know, law enforcement. There's certain things that we do not have control with. And so understanding that you're saying if we have a policy, how would we then, if that person is on a registry or not because of their level, how would we know that, like, if they move in? So
I can tell you how. Sex offenders are registered. There is a registry that has where they are, it has their address of where they live, and there's little red pins on there. So that's how it works.
And they have to register every sometime, depending on the level, they have to register within 30 days or 90 days from moving. And so there's going to be a gap, and there's so much more to consider here than just the visceral reaction that we all have.
Right.
This is not a visceral reaction. This is an absolute reaction of we should not have predators.
Yeah.
Period.
Well, we shouldn't.
The tier that the courts assign as a condition, a term of any one individual who is assigned at a particular tier, not all assigned at the same tier. Though we again may think of that and envision that and certainly have that same emotional reaction, call it unfortunate legalese of it, right? They're assigned different tiers, and then there are even different stipulations that may or may not be a part of any one individual's probation that come into play. And then there are even goes so far as how long someone is required to register, depending on your tier, that is appealable. There's a process that someone who is assigned a particular status can move to, say, move that 15-year registry to as little as 10, which again is shocking to me.
Me too.
But nonetheless, that's the law when we investigated it. But what I think we can do for certain is with the policy committee coming up, I'll just contact NEOLA and see if there are, they obviously have our current policy, and we can see if there's something that they have available that is tighter than what we have. Understanding then, you know, again, I think all the board knows this, but I know there are a lot of people listening in, is that the policies that we receive from NEOLA come from basically a whole staff of attorneys that review this and shape policy based on Ohio Revised Code. So what NEOLA will tell you is if you vary from that particular policy, they essentially will not protect you in terms of liability should something happen with that policy. So the policies that we receive, again, are crafted from attorneys and recommended for either adoption as is or not, right? And if you get into something that could be as little as may or must, there's a serious variation there. So I just want to share that again, that we will certainly look at the policy from NEOLA, see if there is something that is more restrictive concerning that, and then go from there. That's no problem.
I think that's a great idea for the policy committee to take a look at it. And again, we're throwing some pretty rough issues at the policy committee, but that is something I think if there's more, if we can tighten it down. I know in this particular situation, I don't know if anybody's looked at the report, anybody's checked to see what happened. I did. I've seen the report. I've seen the whole thing. When I hear what happened, mm-hmm. Shocking. And to me, it's surprising that the law would be what the law is, but sometimes the law doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I'm the first to tell you that. It doesn't make a lot of sense to me in this situation, but we also have to act within those constraints.
Right.
I need to say something. We're a small community, and when your kids go to an event, there's a whole host of the community that watches out for your children. And I think this instance, it jarred a lot of people because Friday Night Lights are exciting. And when a kid is hurt, they carry that through the rest of their lives. So this is, it's a serious thing.
Very, so, I agree.
The parents that are affected directly by this are operating, the law doesn't make sense. Policies don't make sense. People sitting on a board, it's frustrating, but they still go home at night and they still have a child that's devastated. And they have friends that watch that and are devastated. And our community is scared. So when you're looking at this board, you're looking at an attorney and a nurse and a counselor and a mom and a person that Tiffany has a vast amount of financial facts and is a strong advocate. We're all strong advocates for the kids. So when we are sitting here talking about this, everyone needs to understand that we all come at this situation with a lot of care in our hearts. And tonight, there's not going to be a final decision because there's a lot of things that we have to fix. And Tiffany, to your point, I agree. There's multiple things that mm-hmm. we can do, but it's not all going to get done tonight. Yes. And I guess the message that I want to say is if there was ever a time in our community is now, and we all need to watch out for our kids and watch out for your friends' kids and be communicating as parents. And if you see something, contact administration and share that concern. And if you see something in the building that is suspicious to you, contact administration. And there are procedures in place. Dan, as a parent, I've contacted Dan and said, this seems suspicious to me. And Dan handles it and the administration handles it. So very personally, I know about the brokenness of the situation, mm-hmm. very personally. So we are all struggling and we feel everybody's anxiety and concern. I mean, big time, we do. We all feel it, we know.
Sorry, at this time, audience members can't speak. It's just the board. I'm sorry.
I would also say that I would like to thank the people that did come forward. You know, regardless of what you're bringing forward, I think it takes courage to do that. And I appreciate that. It does give us an opportunity to tighten up within whatever boundaries we have to be within. I would like to go as tight as we can on the, you know, with whatever our policy is going to be, whatever we can do.
It might be something that evolves. Like, we have something right now. We have something, you know what I'm saying? We can, it's something that we will be always looking at because there's things in the law we can't control.
Yeah.
So, and Dan, can you just, I think everybody that's listening and in the audience, there's different levels of volunteerism. There's the volunteers that we just, can you kind of speak to that a little bit? Because I don't think people understand. Yeah. Like when we say a volunteer, there's kind of different levels.
So, you know, the obvious ones I previously mentioned deal with any volunteer coach. So someone not even hired as a coach and compensated, but volunteers, they have to be FBI, BCI, background check, and OHSAA just added this year, another tightening, right? Where they also have a pupil, they have to have the pupil activity report, which adds just another layer. You also then have those who go on field trips. And we know that certain parents are assigned to, I always think of the zoo. We have a big zoo field trip at the elementary. We know that sometimes parents are assigned to take students without a certified teacher. Say there'll be two parents that take a group of students over here to see one group of animals and another that go over here to see another group of animals. BCI, FBI, background check. We know we've been, some people have criticized us for that with the cost involved, and we've stood our ground and said, we're sorry, you have to do that. Along with obviously those that work in the classroom, work with kids individually in the cafeteria or in the hallways, in the library, working with kids. And then the last group, if you will, are your broader, more public events. Like you're at, you know, an athletic event or a drama performance, or you're at a band concert, right? It's very hard, and I'm not trying to make excuses, but you can imagine how hard it is to manage and know exactly who is stepping in to help. So those are things that you may have some people that are BCI, FBI background check. And truth, you may have some who have stepped in to volunteer that have not completed that process. But it's in a public setting with our, you know, our band director or whatever it would maybe drama or whatever. So those are the different levels that we're looking at. And when you're trying to control those, especially if somebody says, hey, we're short and knows an individual but doesn't know this about their past, and says, can you help? That's where you can run into some challenges.
Yeah, we also have people who use our facilities, and it's really, I'm sure it's impossible to vet every person that walks into the facility for a practice or a band event or whatever it may be. So there's a lot of nuances that when I first heard, I just went right past. I didn't even think about that. I'm like, oh, we need to deal with this because that seems really wrong. But then I backed up and went, we gotta slow down and think about this.
Yeah. I mean, for instance, a parent that comes or a family member, there are certain procedures in place that come to pick up a student from school. Right. And that's much easier to control, right? They have to wait in the vestibule, and sometimes folks aren't always necessarily happy about that. That's the procedure. That's the world we're living in now. But as you mentioned, practice or something where the door may be scheduled to be open for athletes coming in and arriving at practice. Someone can walk in there, and it's very challenging. And as you know, that was another reason why we layered the Beyond the Bell, another reason, several reasons why we layered Beyond the Bell in there. But again, that is another level of supervision for our students who are staying for a rehearsal or a practice or whatever it may be. They're in a supervised setting where we have a greater level of control.
Yeah, it's an important issue, and I appreciate the discussion and would like to for the policy committee to take a close look at it.
Yep.
Okay. All right. I do have something I wanted to bring up. I know we have done a survey for the staff and the students about mental health, and that was one of the things that came out of that survey that we did. And just hearing from people that I know who work in the district, and understanding that where I'm at now and having a committee of board members who actually, I know we have the DLT, but you know, I'm thinking, and again, this isn't anything right now, but maybe in January when we're looking at committees, is to maybe think about like having maybe some staff who sit at the table with us as board members, two board members on a committee, to provide input to different things that, because again, sometimes it's good to hear. I mean, we hear individually, but sometimes when you're getting all of the information and the things that are happening within the district, and we'd get our board reports, but sometimes having that information and having maybe a couple staff members sitting and doing, you know, like, and I don't know what the committee would look like, but I just wanted to put that out there and put that just on your radar, because as I think about voices and who's sitting at the table to have those conversations, I know there's different levels of things. And I guess just now that I'm in a different role in my district, I get to sit at a table with board members and talk about things that are happening within our district. So that's just something I'm putting out there. Nothing. I mean, if you want to talk about it now, that would be great. But I am thinking that's something I would love for us to maybe, and maybe even students, like maybe having a couple students who represent, because I'm on the rec board and we do have a student who sits on the rec board. So their voice is heard and they get input into what's happening with the recreation center. So this is just something to throw out there.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea in the strange polarized world we live in, and coming off of COVID, you know, I'm not sure everybody's bounced back from that emotionally. And I just think that would be a great idea. I know when I was in high school, I was a peer representative in a program to help people. And I don't know, you know, if you could do something like that today because of privacy issues, but I think it's a great idea to look at something like that.
It's just something to, I don't even know what it looks like, but I just wanted to throw that out there.
I have one last thing for open discussion. At next month meeting, I would like to have a deep discussion about what our 3.5 stars look like. I'd like an explanation as far as what the district's view is on that. I'd like to kind of go step by step of what we're, I know we see the reports, but I want to have be able to connect that star with that dot and be able to cross everything, just so that we have as a board have an understanding of where we're at, what we're doing, the changes that we're making. I know we've approved some different curriculums. So I don't believe that the tests are the end all be all, and I'm not one that thinks that we need to teach to the test, but that's the method that the state has put in effect for us. So I want to make sure that we can all understand exactly what the district's response is from that standpoint for next month's meeting, please. And if that's not enough time, let me know. But
yeah,
I'm not trying to add to your work or anything like that, but I just want a good presentation about what.
And those tests are, as somebody who has children that struggle with tests, and has done that for several years in the district, and I can look out in the room and see educators of the test. The test doesn't say the whole story.
Yeah. And I agree that I'm there with you, Emily, because I don't believe teaching to it does.
Yes.
I think that we just teach to it and we're not
right.
And I can go on for hours about that, but
so frustrating and our parents, as hard as our parents work with their children and as hard as our staff works with their children, that's what's so frustrating about that report and that star system is it does not tell even a little bit of the story of our district.
It's all. Yeah, it's unfortunate though, because it is what's published and it is how people from afar see, you know, us and form opinions. And, you know, I want to fight for every student we have here. I want to keep them. I want people from outside this district to want to come here. You know, I'd like to be the gold standard. And if we're lagging there, there's always going to be a public perception attached to it. So I actually agree with you on something.
I have no problem with stating, you know, listen, we don't spend a lot of time on evolution, so our science numbers are down and the science portion of the test is up on evolution. You know, it's like, I don't care what we do. I just want to know what we are, what we're saying, and what we're doing about it. That's it. I don't care.
Sure.
What I've never been a fan of test. So
I just request that if we're going to talk about that, we also see all the good things that our students are doing as well. Mm-hmm.
Which I think we have all agreed to as a board that each month we will get highlights, which we did earlier today, which was awesome. So we're going to continue that each month. So that will be a nice positive thing about the things that are happening. And again, the test is, I mean, the 3.5 stars isn't bad, but we could always do better. Yes.
Dawn, I just wanted to circle back to your about the committee. I agree that we should do something with forming a committee with the teachers, and also to Kent's comment, students should be on it.
Mm-hmm.
It would be great to hear more from our students as board members. So.
Yep. Thank you. All right. Any other open discussion items? All right. Exhibit number 12, the motion reads that the Rosser Board of Education adjourn the regular meeting of September 27th, 2023.
So moved.
Second.
Any questions or comments? Thank you all for coming out this evening. Roll call.
Tiffany Denzig.
Yes.
Kent Burpree.
Yes.
Lee Clocko.
Yes.
Jackie Huffman.
Yes.
Don Burke.
Yes. Meeting adjourned at 7:37 p.m.